I will continue to think about the Mesabi Trail for maybe the rest of my life. I'm trying to think of like a good story from there. I recently had something fully hit my head. I think it was a bird. I was like, I've had multiple giant insects hit me before, but it was much larger. Like it was something. It hit like all of my ear. And I just had to like stop, and I was like looked around, saw nothing, but I was like, something did just hit me. I'm not 99% sure.
Oh my gosh.
Well, great. I'm glad you've explored, and you know, it feels like you've really gotten a flavor for this part of Minnesota. It's been a real pleasure having you.
Yeah. And you had sort of the unusual thing of you weren't the newbie the whole time you were here. Two more reporters came on board, and you know, you probably got the chance to tell them a few things, of answer some questions, which is sort of strange in an internship that you got to do that.
Yeah, it was weird because it was like, oh, I'm the experienced one, even though I'm not experienced. But in the same way, I was able to like learn from them because they're a little later on in their career and they know so much. And so it was cool to have a relationship where it was like, I know these few niche things to this station, but you guys really know so much about journalism. And it was definitely an interesting experience to have them.
Yeah, so you are newsroom now with Chelsea, Megan, Larissa, Emma, and Stella. What impressive folks that are so dedicated to the work they're doing. What a great thing for you to see in early, while you're in college still.
Yeah, and they just, what I've learned from like each of them, they're all so different, mm-hmm. but they bring just so much. And so it's been great to learn and spend time with each of them and get to read their stories. I'm excited to keep up to date with KAXE and continue to read their stories. It's fun to just read stories and be like, this is who they are behind. Yeah. You can tell by their writing that like this person wrote it.
Yeah. That's Erin Bowman, the intern from Report for America for KAXE. Read her latest story at KAXE.org, and you can actually read all of her stories there. Thanks, Erin.
Thank you.
Coming up, we'll have news headlines from National Public Radio, and then we are learning about the Northwoods Art and Book Festival in Hackensack.
This is 91.7 KAXE Grand Rapids and 90.5 KBXE Bagley Bemidji. We operate translator K210DR in Brainerd at 89.9. Since 1906, Northern Community Radio has been telling the stories of the people and land of northern Minnesota through music, news, conversation, and events. Listen at KAXE.org or on your smart speaker. Keep KAXE people powered into the future with your support now. Text the word donate to 218-326-1234.
Live from NPR News in Washington, I'm Dave Mattingly. The Senate Homeland Security Committee is scheduled to vote today on whether to hold Dr. Anthony Fauci in contempt of Congress. Fauci declined to answer questions from members of the committee last week during a hearing on the federal government's response to the COVID pandemic. NPR's Eric McDaniel reports.
Fauci invoked his Fifth Amendment right to avoid self-incrimination at last week's hearing. That infuriated Senator Rand Paul of Kentucky, who's long tried to prosecute him. Paul, a libertarian opposed to government mandates, is a longtime critic of Fauci's response to COVID-19.
You presented your recommendations not as judgments open to debate, but as dictates of science itself.
Contempt of Congress is the mechanism by which lawmakers can attempt to compel someone to cooperate with the legislative process or face potential criminal proceedings. It remains unclear whether the Justice Department will choose to pursue an investigation or charges for the 85-year-old Fauci, as it has for other former officials President Trump dislikes. Eric McDaniel, NPR News, Washington.
The Senate has confirmed Dr. Erica Schwartz to be director of the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. The vote was largely along party lines. It's been almost a year since the CDC lost its last permanent director. That's when Health Secretary Robert F. Kennedy Jr. fired Susan Menarez in a dispute over vaccine policy. The CDC is currently responding to a surge in measles cases in the U.S. as well as outbreaks of cyclosporiasis. The war with Iran, energy prices, and the U.S. economy got a lot of attention from President Trump yesterday as he traveled to Nevada. The president spoke to supporters in Las Vegas, as NPR's Danielle Kurtzleben reports.
Trump emphasized his no tax on tips policy, which allows a worker to deduct up to $25,000 in tips on their income taxes. That was passed last year as a part of the spending package known as the One Big Beautiful Bill. He also talked about the price of oil, which has been elevated since the start of the war in Iran, but has fallen from its peak in the spring. Trump acknowledged, however, that it could rise again.
We may have to send it up again. We may have to. You know what happens when we send it up, but we hope we don't have to. But when that oil and gasoline go down, everything else follows.
Amid the higher prices, President Trump's approval rating has slid and is currently just below 40%, according to multiple polling aggregators. Danielle Kurtzleben, NPR News.
The man suspected of starting one of the wildfires burning near Spokane, Washington, is scheduled to be arraigned today. 37-year-old Aaron Farinacci is charged with first-degree arson. Investigators believe Farinacci intentionally set the Old Trails fire. It's the largest of three wildfires burning near the city. The flames have destroyed hundreds of homes and forced tens of thousands of people in the area to evacuate. This is NPR News from Washington. The Vatican says Pope Leo plans to visit South America later this year. The Pope will travel to Uruguay, Argentina, and Peru in November. The Pope holds both U.S. and Peruvian citizenship, having worked as a missionary in Peru during the 1980s and later serving as a bishop there. Water rationing begins tomorrow in Puerto Rico, where the territory is experiencing the most severe drought in more than a decade. NPR's Adrian Florido in San Juan says the National Guard will be distributing drinking water as the government cuts service to more than a half million residents.
So little rain has fallen this summer that key reservoirs have run nearly dry. Governor Jennifer Gonzalez says the public water utility will start cutting service to parts of the capital, San Juan, and neighboring cities. People's taps will go dry on a schedule, 48 hours with water, then 48 hours without, until reservoirs are restored. But that could be weeks or longer. Forecasters expect no significant rainfall for the Caribbean islands in the short term. It's just the latest of Puerto Rico's water troubles. Many people have already been coping with and protesting intermittent service for months caused by cracks in aging pipes that supply urban areas. Adrian Florido, NPR News, San Juan, Puerto Rico.
Longtime Canadian TV news anchor Lloyd Robertson has died at the age of 92. Robertson was chief anchor of CTV National News for 27 years. Canada's Prime Minister, Mark Carney, remembers Robertson as a reassuring voice in moments of uncertainty. Wall Street is coming off another record-high close for the Dow. I'm Dave Mattingly in Washington.
Support for NPR comes from NPR stations. Other contributors include DuckDuckGo, who believes AI should be optional and who've been building privacy tools for 15 years. They now offer Duck.ai, where users can chat privately with AI. Duck.ai. This is NPR.
Hey, it's A. Martinez from NPR's Morning Edition, here to wish KAXE a happy 50th anniversary. As the first rural public radio station in the nation, KAXE has proven that world-class public media can grow from small towns and deep roots. KAXE reflects northern Minnesota with reporting on local government meetings, student nature observations, and programs such as Green Cheese Trivia, On the River, and Headwaters that provide a curated music soundtrack every day. NPR is honored to celebrate KAXE and 50 years of rural storytelling, trusted local and national news and music.
You can do your part and keep KAXE going strong into the future. Become a member. Text the word DONATE, 218-326-1234.
Nothing's really something now, the whole thing's soot. Welcome to the Badlands, where the sky expands and you and I expire.
just like sparks flying off some firecracker in the big disaster we call home, where God could be a dog barking in the dark. And if it goes pitch black, would you come back? Would you follow my name through wild fields of lavender? In this life we're just passengers, just passing by. Heaven is a place on earth beneath the golden sky. Heaven is a place on earth, we see it by and by. And I know that it's going to hurt if I get there first. Heaven is a place on earth. Welcome to the Midwest, where the sky knows best, and you'll finally get some rest till the tornado sirens stop harmonizing.
Weekend.
Yes. Well, events that go on in northern Minnesota. You're tuned in to KEXE. We are people-powered radio in northern Minnesota, but especially when it comes to books.
That's true. Saturday is the 31st annual Northwoods Art and Book Festival in Hackensack. Joining us to tell us more is Sue Reddy. More than 65 artists and 35 Minnesota authors will be at various sites throughout the town. Good morning, Sue. Thanks for joining us.
Good morning. Thank you for the invitation.
I'm sure.
And we hope you ladies can join us on Saturday.
Yeah, I will be there. I'm excited about it. I suppose you always get jokes about your last name, but are you ready for it?
Yeah. Yes. We've been putting a lot of preparation into it.
Yeah.
The thing that makes it so successful is all the wonderful volunteers we have and the community support.
Give us kind of an overview of what it's like in Hackensack, what it'll be like on Saturday.
Well, it's a free event, and we open from 9 until 3, and then there's a registration desk as you come in. The street is closed off, and there's a community building where you can find authors and some of the artists, and then the street is lined with tents with different artists, and in the UCC, which is the church down at the end of the road, that's where the 35 authors are. And there's something for everybody. If you like pie, we have pies by guys. We have a lot of food choices. We have music. We have the Wonder Trek Traveling Museum. I'm not sure if you're familiar with that, but it's a interactive museum with things that are out on the ball field for the kids to participate. We have art, opportunities for children. So there's just a lot going on, and we take into consideration the seniors and people that are disabled. We have a golf cart that can kind of get you from A to B, which works out really nice.
So Sue, 65 artists, what kind of art are we talking here?
A variety of things. We have wood and jewelry, printmaking, felted hats, soaps. It's a juried art, so they're upscale crafts. And then we have a contest that goes on during the day, and then they choose five artists that best represent the festival for that particular year.
Now, let's... go ahead.
Well, and then with the authors, we're in a different spot. And so they're set up with their tables, and you can go around and visit with everyone. And it covers a variety of genre. And many, many of these authors are award-winning, not just for one book, for several. And then same with the artists. So it's really just a huge amount of talent that can be found in one day.
In Hackensack.
In Hackensack. We're putting it on the map.
Well, and I'm sure a lot of people from the community come to it, but you've been doing it for 31 years, so probably you get a lot of people that visit the town on this day, right?
Well, yes. I mean, it really helps the economics of the town, you know, because you can go to the different restaurants, and we're right half a block or so off for Birch Lake. There are different water activities, and so there are many other things that you can do during the day in the area.
So, Sue, who are some of the authors that will be there on Saturday?
Some of the authors, Chris Norberry, Candace Seymour, Jan Bellinger, I don't have my list with me.
Oh, that's okay.
That would have been good to have. But many of the authors don't just come from the Twin Cities. They come from southern Minnesota, northern, but they're all local Minnesota authors.
Hmm. So are there interviews? Are there book talks? Like what, or is it just the authors there and you can ask questions?
Well, that's a good question. At 11 o'clock, we have our main author who is giving a presentation. His name is Jason Willis, and he'll be talking about Minnesota mythology. And then he also is selling his books. And I also want to emphasize that the authors have more than one book title too. So that'll be in the UCC church from 11 until 12. And then he'll be selling his books afterwards.
So, Sue, why are you involved in this?
Well, I have a teaching background. I used to be a middle school and elementary teacher. And about 12, 15 years ago, I lost track. I heard about this in the Hackensack area, and I started helping the lady who founded this. Her name is Joanne Moran. And I was working with her for, I don't know, maybe 5-8 years or something. And then one day she just came up to me and said, well, I'm not going to be doing this anymore. And I was absolutely astounded because this was her baby as she developed it. She was an author and a writer and a very successful career. And so then I said, well, who's going to be doing it? And she looks at me and she says, well, you are. And so I'm like, okay, a little shocked on that one. But I just can't tell you how much I've enjoyed it. You just build up a camaraderie with the authors. And I do book reviews for two different agencies, so I can support authors in that way also. And then I have a couple Facebook pages, so I can put their books on that page also.
Classic small town living. I mean, that's one of the things that I've loved about living in a more rural place is that if you want something to happen, you got to make it happen.
Right.
Nobody's going to do it for you.
And we do.
Yeah.
I mean, it's been billed as the longest running art and book festival. You know, there are book festivals in the Twin Cities or, you know, over the state of Minnesota. But when you pair it with art, I think it brings some uniqueness to it. And I don't know, it is a wonderful event. And I will have to say it takes a lot of hands to make this work too. And so that's why we have to draw on community to help us and volunteers.
Well, Sue, we can't thank you enough. Our staff librarian, Tammy Bobrowski, had this idea that it would be fun for us to go to this and record with some of those authors. And you're the one that's making this happen. So we're going to be there and then be working on a piece for KEXE as well. So we appreciate that.
And I have to laugh a little bit because you offered this to authors and I have 35 and every author wanted to do it.
Yeah.
So they're going to be busy.
So now you have to bring in help for them.
Yep. We'll be there. We're ready to go.
Yeah. So, you know, what author doesn't want to promote their work you know, get 3 to 5 minutes of airtime here. So that works out really nice.
So Sue, once we're done with the recording, any advice for me on, you mentioned pie, but on something I should get to eat there?
Well, there's a lot of food trucks.
Okay.
And I would say don't overlook the pie. I mean, we have a lady that makes over 100 pies for this event.
Oh, wow.
And her name is Jeanette. And so it is quite amazing.
That is an undertaking.
And then,
yeah.
And then I would stop by where the children are outside. I think that's kind of interesting to watch all the interactive blocks and stuff.
All right.
And I'll look for you in the author section too.
All right. Sounds great. That's Sue Reddy at the 31st Annual Northwoods Art and Book Festival this Saturday from 9 to 3 in Hackensack. Thanks for your time, Sue.
Thanks, Sue.
Okay. And thank you for making this happen. And I look forward to meeting you ladies.
Sounds great. Thank you.
Yeah.
Bye-bye. We've been talking about small town events, and Kari, you're right. Sometimes someone just tells you you're in charge.
Yeah.
And there you go.
And you might be maybe not ready for it, but it's always worth it. What an amazing thing for a town the size of Hackensack.
Yeah, no kidding. I've always wanted to go to this and I haven't been able to. So
I look forward to hearing about it.
Yeah, we're going to be there on Saturday and should be a lot of fun. Coming up, we're going to be hearing about the Blackberry Threshing and Antique Show. I have been to this one, and we get to see these guys every year. They're going to be coming in. I don't know if they're going to be wearing the Alice Chambers versus John Deere.
Yes, the clothing. The rivalry merch.
Right, because it's all about tractors. You can also do, you're going to see displays where people are making barrels, making shingles, all kinds of cool stuff going on in Blackberry this Saturday and Sunday.
You're listening to People Powered Radio KAXE, where we receive support from North Homes Children and Family Services, providing compassionate mental health services to children and families at home, school, and in the community. More information at northhomes.org. Also want to thank Klotko Brewing Company in Grand Rapids, making traditional old world styles of beer as well as modern classics for 8 years now. Their tap room is open Monday through Thursday, 3 to 8, Friday and Saturday, noon to 8, and Sunday, noon to 6. More info at klotkobrewing.com.
To the people who love the Grateful Dead, the first 9 days of August are known as the Days Between. Did you know about this?
Well, is this from NPR?
Yeah.
Yes.
It's an annual celebration that commemorates the birth and death of guitarist Jerry Garcia.
It's Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Leila Fadel.
And I'm Michelle Martin. Followers of the Grateful Dead call this week the Days Between, that is, the days between the anniversaries of the birth and death of guitarist Jerry Garcia. Musicians who have played with or followed in the footsteps of the Grateful Dead are among the many who observe. As part of a series from NPR Music about the Dead's legacy, Felix Contreras spoke with some of them.
Some people are born deadheads and some have to find their way to the band. On paper, you'd assume that Jim James would be the lifelong sort of fan. His band, My Morning Jacket, is known for a quirky, twangy sound rooted in folk and sprinkled with psychedelia. Except for a long time, he hated the Grateful Dead. But his mind began to change when he started listening to the Dead's acoustic songs, like Candyman, which he covered on a massive 2016 tribute album to the band called Day of the Dead.
I think there's a beautiful bravery and freedom in the Dead, because sometimes they don't do a good job. Sometimes it's a mess hearing bad notes and they're lost for a while and then they find it again or whatever, you know, and that's life.
Jeff Tweedy's band Wilco also contributed a cover to that tribute album, a fiery early Dead jam called St. Stephen. They performed it with Dead guitarist Bob Weir. As a musician, Tweedy says he's fascinated by the idea that if you consider the band's individual parts, the whole of the Grateful Dead should not have worked.
It really is kind of a miracle, you know, that it would work, that a bass player not consistently interested in the root note would work with a guy that cut his teeth playing bluegrass and different types of music, and then a young kid that seems to know every chord voicing in the world.
Another miracle many have learned from, the Dead's improv skills. In 2018, Weir handpicked the veteran producer and musician Don Was to play bass in his trio called the Wolf Bros.
My first thought was, I'm going to take a master class from this fearless improviser, and I'm going to learn how to stop thinking so much, and I'm going to learn how to not be afraid to take a leap with things, and then I'm going to apply that to every aspect of my life.
Graham Lesh was literally born into the Grateful Dead life. His father was Phil Lesh, the band's founding bassist. His dad died in 2024, and Graham now plays the Dead songs with his own band. What Phil Lesh taught his son is a lesson that applies to anyone who plays the music of the Dead, whether you're on the front porch with your kids or on a stage in front of thousands.
My folks describe the Grateful Dead as a big old oak tree. The roots were like the jazz and the blues, and the trunk is the band members, and the branches and the leaves are everyone inspired by them. That's what I am, all of us. And it'll grow and grow, and not every tree lives forever, but outlives all of us.
And so, the long, strange trip may indeed go on forever. Felix Contreras, NPR News.
You can read and hear a lot more from NPR Music on the legacy of the Dead at npr.org/Grateful Dead. This is NPR News.
National Public Radio here on People Powered KEXE. Coming up, we've got local news with the Up North Report. We'll bring you more great music coming up at 9. Kari Hedlund with Headwaters and the latest Spin That Ish featuring Jennifer Barr, guest hosting on the Spin That Ish segment. And then going on at 1 o'clock, Judy Gruy is our host for On the River. Tonight at 7 o'clock, it is DJ Lake Poseidon. We would like to thank Dragonfly Coffee for their support, located in Central Square Mall in Grand Rapids, featuring a scratch bakery offering espresso, bubble tea, and more, empowering inclusion and community through employment. Special orders available, drinkdragonfly.com. And support for KEXE also comes from Ledger & Ladle, a restaurant in downtown Grand Rapids, with a rotating menu every few months to explore a new region, technique, or ingredient. Open Wednesday through Friday, 3 to 9, Saturday 5 to 9, and Sundays 10 to 2. More at ledgerandladle.com. It's going to be a lovely day, mostly sunny skies with highs 82 to 85, breezy southwest winds up to 25 miles an hour. Tonight, lows 59 to 63.
For KAXE News, I'm Emma Crabb with the Up North Report. Some entry points on the western side of the Boundary Waters reopened Wednesday. Megan Buffington spoke with an Ely canoe outfitter about the significance.
You can hear the relief in Drew Brockett's voice.
Today's a great day.
Let's put it that way.
Brockett is the outfitting manager for Paragus Northwoods Company. He says outfitters have been decimated since the Boundary Waters closed 3 weeks ago. A few people chose to enjoy the woods and waters in other ways, but Paragus lost nearly all of its reservations. Brockett says they were able to save a few trips this past weekend. Entry points have been gradually reopening in the central and eastern portions of the wilderness. But most campers don't start trips to those areas from Ely.
This opening for the Fernberg Road in the Kwishwe Triangle area here was big.
The Forest Service says four entry points in areas directly impacted by the fires are closed through the end of the quota permit season, but more entry points could reopen. Firefighters are paddling into increasingly remote areas to fight parts of the fire they couldn't previously access because of dangerous conditions. Brockett says Paragus and other outfitters are getting contracts to pack food for the crews. Not only can they make a bit of money, but it also means work for seasonal employees who had their hours cut because of the closure. Brockett's parting message was a common refrain. Ely is open. You may still be seeing smoky photos, but he says those are outdated.
No, that is not what it's like up here. It's beautiful, you know? So if you had plans to come up here, just keep coming up here. Town would love it.
He also added that because of cancellations, you may be able to plan a rare last-minute August trip to the Boundary Waters. And if you do have a permit and can't make it, cancel it so someone else can take a trip. Megan Buffington, KAXE News.
The Bacchus City Council has approved a conditional use permit for Pine Mountain Gospel Church to establish a 16-person men's recovery house in the former Bacchus School building. The Pine and Lakes Echo Journal reports City Attorney Andrew Callis recommended approval at the Monday night meeting because of legal reasons. The city is required by state and federal laws to treat Good News Recovery Center the same as an apartment building and not condition their approval on the basis of addiction. Despite this, community members attending the meeting expressed their opposition to the center, wary of the proposed location's proximity to family homes and businesses selling alcohol. Pine Mountain Gospel pastor Kenny Holm and center founder Linnea Percival Tilbury advocated for the center by providing details about the program's requirements. They said residents must obey a contract that bans substance use and mandates work searches and counseling commitments, among other stipulations. The church will have 2 years to complete renovations on the building. The U.S. is in the midst of another slow summer job scene for teens. For Minnesota youths, leaders in charge of combating invasive species in lakes say the work can be a game changer for career training. The DNR helps with oversight as these staffers perform visual checks and educate boaters about preventing the spread of aquatic hitchhikers that disrupt lake ecosystems. Nick Phelps leads the University of Minnesota's Aquatic Invasive Species Research Center. He performed this work as a college intern.
I made some bigger college and career decisions after that experience. You know, it's not just sitting in a lawn chair at a boat ramp, but it's interacting with the public. It's a lot of experiences that are hard to replicate.
The group Minnesota Lakes and Rivers says county and tribal governments lean on state funding to send out more than 800 boat inspectors each summer. This includes older teens. The money that flows to local agencies faces a 50% cut next year amid belt tightening at the state capitol. Advocates hope the move is reversed next session. Thanks to Minnesota News Connection for this story. The Minnesota Department of Natural Resources is looking for public input on an updated fisheries management plan for Leech Lake. The plan, which was last updated in 2021, serves as a guide for the agency as it hopes to maintain a quality fishery. The public can make comments by contacting Leech Lake Management online, over the phone, or by mail up until August 20. That's it for the Up North Report. From the KAXE News Desk, I'm Emma Crabb, telling the stories of northern Minnesota through local news.
The Up North Report on KAXE is sponsored by Woodland Bank, dedicated to serving local businesses, families, and nonprofits in our area since 1920. You can find more information online at woodland.bank.
It is 8:34. Thanks for tuning in to People Powered, KAXE.
Support on KAXE comes from Paul Bunning Communications, offering business IT services, including cloud solutions, network management, and more. All with local customer service and support, Paul Bunning Communications, connecting and supporting local businesses.
Minnesota primary election is coming up next Tuesday, August 11th, and early voting is open right now. The KEXE News team has put together a 2026 primary election guide. You can learn more about candidates running to represent you at kexe.org/election guide. New this year, printable versions. You can help by sharing election information with your friends and neighbors. We've also got a few of them printed out at KEXE and KBXE. You can pick them up. As soon as the primaries are done, the team will be working on the general election guide as well.
We just heard about the Northwoods Art and Book Festival in Hackensack this weekend. Also going on, Palisade River Fest is on Saturday. Activities include an artisan and farmer's market from 10 to 3, parade at noon, plus a duck race, pickleball, cornhole, and live music. And Deerwood Days is also going on this weekend, both tomorrow and Saturday, with a variety of live entertainment, craft booths, food trucks, and kids activities. Find more information at facebook.com/Deerwood Days.
Green Cheese Picnic is Saturday. Woo-hoo. It's in KEXE's backyard in Grand Rapids. Here's the deal. Bring a dish to share, your favorite beverage, and your own chair, unless you're fine with sitting on the grass.
You can do that.
The fun starts at 5 p.m. with live green cheese trivia from 7 to 9. Bring your own trivia questions. Bring maybe a few jokes. At the end of the evening, we are going to be crowning a new king and queen of green cheese.
They wear costumes. You can bring props.
I remember a year where somebody brought chickens.
I remember that too. Yeah. In a little cage.
Yep. Because it was the chicken coop. Aiken Chicken Coop.
Yeah.
That's why.
Aiken Chicken Coop. That's right. We just heard from Mary from Castlake. She texted 218-326-1234. She said, good morning, ladies. It's been a relaxing summer. A lot of naps involved.
I was just going to say.
That's lovely.
Yeah. I wonder. We hadn't heard from you in a while, and I'm glad you are resting. School starts pretty quickly.
I took a nap last week. Had family up visiting and was working and, you know, just got tired. I normally am a quick napper, like literally 8 minutes up to 20 minutes.
Okay.
Is about,
which is what
my range,
you know, doctors or what experts say is the best way.
I mean, I've pulled over on the road. My dad taught me the art of napping. And I pull over if I'm tired. I will pull over and I will sleep for 6 minutes.
Wow.
And then I will wake up and I feel good. Anyway, I did not do this and I took an hour long nap last week. I could not recover.
Yeah.
The whole rest of the day. I felt so, my brain was not firing. It was like I was so groggy the rest of the day. And this is why I do not do long naps.
I thought this was going to be a story about how great it felt to have such a long
nap. Well, it felt good that because I needed the sleep. Yeah. I was very underslept last week. So I needed it. But, I mean, I was trying to play. Have you ever played the game Nuts?
No, I don't know.
Okay, so this is a game that I play a lot. My nephew loves this game, and I love this game too because it's all about speed. You're playing solitaire in front of you, and you each have your own deck, and they have to be different cards in the deck. Like, they have to be different decks. So, like, signature to yours. I have a red one. Lincoln has a blue one. Okay. Jen has a, you know, whatever. Yep. But you have a nut pile along with the solitaire. You play it, and then you can, when the aces go out in the middle, you can play off any ace.
So the goal
is to get a bunch of of your deck out into the ace piles and get rid of your nut pile. Super high energy, fast. Yeah. You got to be moving all the time. My sister with severe ADD does not do well in this game. But I sucked after my nap. For the whole rest of the day, I could not play that dang game because my brain, what is the science behind that?
I don't know.
You would think I was sleep deprived, so I needed it. So why wouldn't that help my brain?
So a stack of cards is called a nut pile? I have never heard that before in my life.
It makes for a lot of fun jokes.
Yes, I bet it does. It sounds kind of fun, though.
It's so fun.
How many people are the optimum to play it?
You need at least three.
Okay.
Six is great.
Wow.
Okay. But you could play with three people.
What's it called again? Nuts?
Nuts.
Okay.
Some people call it nerds.
Okay.
Apparently.
Did your family make this up?
I played it as a kid, but it was called something different. Peanut? No. I don't remember what I called it as a kid. And then my brother-in-law, his family is, they're all nut players and they're all really good.
All right.
So, sounds like we maybe need a staff game day.
Perhaps. Oh my God.
Got all the time in the world for that, right?
Yeah. I haven't been playing enough games or cards or anything. We just got a new table, so I said we got to invite people over for canasta.
Yes.
We have a couple people who want to play some doubles canasta, which I haven't played in years.
You guys got into that for a while.
Canasta?
Yeah.
Oh yeah, that's our
that's your
our
game.
Go-to game. It's usually winter time.
See, cribbage is our go-to or backgammon for between the two of us.
Sure.
But we've been playing a lot of dice this summer.
Okay.
Also, which is really fun for my kids. We also play sevens, which is a fun one. Have you ever played Speed?
Yeah.
Do you remember that one?
Yep.
That's such a good one.
We just got this in from Julie Crab. They must play nuts in their family.
It's actually formerly called Dukery? Duckery?
Yeah, I know.
Duchery?
That's why I handed it to you, because I didn't know how to say it.
Julie, explain. I don't understand the pronunciation of that one. I haven't heard that yet, but I could totally see you, the Crab fam, playing this game. And you're missing out by not calling it nuts or your nut pile.
Yeah.
I'm just saying.
Sounds like fun. Tell us about the games that you play. 218-326-1234. We also want answers to our question. We want stories of what are your favorite ways to eat wild berries.
Oh, I thought we were talking about my nap question.
No, we could.
No, okay.
I sometimes can take a really, by the end of the
week.
You're
a good napper.
Yeah. But I get that groggy too, where I'm just done then. If I wake up from it, you think you'd be refreshed.
No.
But I can do an hour and not feel
too
fuzzy.
Much.
Yeah.
Okay.
But if I get anywhere in the 2 hour range, I mean, that you'd be out. You'd be done for. Imagine sleeping 2 hours.
Oh, it would be like a night's sleep for me, probably. I mean.
But we want to hear about your favorite ways to eat wild berries. Last week, we did the always fun breakfast for dinner.
Ooh, classic.
I had picked blueberries, so we had pancakes and bacon and...
Blueberries with bacon? Mm-hmm. Oh, come on.
I know.
I just got a text in from Ashley who said, double solitaire is what we called this.
Yeah.
Though you can play with as many people as you want. Her grandma was amazing at it.
She's saying...
Ashley, I'm pretty good.
Dukery. We're not good with phonetics at the moment, Julie. Dukery. It's in all caps, so we don't know. We need to just shout it.
Dukery! I think that's how you pronounce
all
it.
All the crabs laughing right now.
You're listening to KAXE. I'm Kari Hedlund here with Heidi Holton. We receive support from the Lake Country Journal, a local lifestyle magazine, sharing stories about places to go, things to do, and people to know in Lake Country. More at lakecountryjournal.com.
We've been talking about all the great events going on in northern Minnesota. Up next, the Blackberry Threshing and Antique Show, the 42nd annual, coming up this weekend.
Far from the station, coasting into nothing, I have become every wasted day. This thing didn't come with instructions. Maybe we're better off. I wouldn't read them anyway. I've spent always messing the whole thing up. When I get close to the end, some people just can't love right. Born for a different time.
is John R. Miller, was a former album of the week, The Great Unknowing. And you're listening to the Thursday Morning Show. I'm Kari Hedlund here with Heidi Holton.
We're excited because we are welcoming him back into the studio. This is going to be fun. The Blackberry Threshing and Antique Show is this weekend, the 42nd annual. And we've got the rivalry with us today. John Howery representing John Deere and Bruce Gold representing Alice Chalmers. Did I say it right?
You said that right.
All right. Good morning, you guys. You're speaking. Speaking terms.
Morning. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Ish.
We may be back to back, but we're speaking to each other.
Well, good thing the price of scrap is up. John Deere would be worth something, maybe.
Shots fired early on.
Oh, yeah.
Your turn, John.
Well, I'm going to challenge Bruce to a tractor tug-of-war war next year. Not this year, next year. We have to work everything out first. There's a lot of logistics.
Right. Uh-huh. Sure.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. He can only run on two cylinders.
Oh,
so I still probably beat you.
So 2027, watch out. The tractor pull is happening.
Oh, my gosh. So this is the Threshing and Antique Show. So many things that happen there. What are the demonstrations that will be going on?
Well, first of all, probably John's going to tell you about our steam engine.
Oh, yeah.
We got that Avery steam engine that's pretty doggone rare, really. In the United States, period. I mean, it's just not locally.
Like, what era would this be from?
1910.
Okay. 1910.
It's a 1910 Avery. Yep. 3090.
What does that mean?
30 means...
It's 30 horsepower, 90...
30 horsepower on the drawbar, 90 horsepower on the pulley.
Okay.
So the pulley is what would run a steam engine.
Okay.
Or
saws. Machines, saws. Yeah.
Yep.
You know, The steam engine started in the sand hills of Kansas and Nebraska, but it was so heavy, the soil was so loose that they couldn't operate it there. Somewhere over the years, it ended up in Michigan. And a fellow by the name of Jim Rodenberg and Bob Dewey went out to Michigan to look at it, came back, and the club decided to buy it. So that's how it got here.
Nice.
You know, it's maybe one of the 10 in the country.
Hmm.
That's what I've seen as statistics, or can't believe anything or everything anymore. But and only at that stats, there's only three of them operable. So if you go to the blackberryfarm.org and call, no, excuse me, if you go and Google Avery 3090,
okay,
information comes, pops up. The first thing you'll see is the Blackberry Farm.
Nice.
Very cool.
Yeah, so.
So that's one of the demonstrations on probably, does it happen kind of throughout the weekend?
Oh, yeah, this thing will be running throughout the weekend, hopefully. You know, I mean, they're an expensive item, and we like to, and they have to be inspected every year. We actually got them inspected and stuff. So plan on having that running. We have a sawmill going to be running. We'll be going to be planing wood and a shingle mill, and we have... What you call the bot? We call it the Baudette building. That's here is two big
Morris Fairbanks.
Actually, electro plants that were used in the Baudette backup. Really, one's a 6-cylinder diesel and one's a 4-cylinder diesel. And we have a 1908 Sears house that was actually you ordered out of the Sears and Roebuck catalog.
Yeah.
So, and there's a lot of things. I mean, yeah. I guess you can't mention everything, but there's a few Alice Chalmers there, too, in case you're interested.
When I looked yesterday, there was a whole row.
I know it, because the John Deere's ain't got them started yet.
Are they all yours, Bruce?
Well, I got a few there, yes.
How many tractors do you have, personally?
Well, I don't know. My wife says I have 75. I don't know how many I have, but I know if one's missing.
John,
I just bought one yesterday, by the way.
I got one tractor.
Oh, you don't need
many. I don't have room. If I had room, my wife would be mad because I'd be doing the same thing Bruce is.
All right. I was going to jump on John's side and you could do it on Bruce's side. You know,
we also have the original Blackberry School.
Oh, cool.
The single room school. That's kind of interesting. The entryway, there's two doors in. One was for the boys and one was for girls.
So it's a whole heritage of... you know, a timestamp, honestly, of all kinds out there at the the show this weekend.
Right.
Yep. Yep.
How did this get started?
Way before my time.
I don't know exactly who the guys were, but it was Jim Rodenberg and John Sucker, I believe. They started at the Sucker Farm. And they just got together some guys and let's do some thrashing and stuff like that. And first thing you know, it got to be, well, we put on a show for everybody to watch, and people were watching anyway. And it just grew from there.
Yeah.
And so it's been a lot of fun. We'd enjoy it. We get in a lot of arguments and stuff, too, but that's part of any,
I mean,
any
that's
club
part of the
organization.
Fun, though, isn't it?
That's right. That's
and,
right.
And about the time you want something to run, it won't run.
That's yeah, you know. Yeah.
We also do an education day in May.
Yes, we do.
We invite, by the invitation only, fourth graders from all around.
Hmm.
And I think what one year we had 427 kids come out. And we demonstrate just some of the, not all the equipment, but some of it, you know.
I think it was like 400 this year, so.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a big thing for the community.
Well, I was thinking, even for the show this weekend, I would imagine there's lots of kids, little, you know, I know both my kids, when they were toddlers, you know, that this was the most exciting thing to watch was machinery.
Yeah, the threshing show is our family show.
Yeah.
We have other shows that we put on, but primarily it's our family show.
Yeah. And there's parades. Too, right?
Oh, yeah. Parade every day. 2 o'clock, I believe the parade is. I'm not positive on the time, but it's about that.
Okay.
Saturday and Sunday, we have a parade of tractors. And
any food?
Oh, gads of food. I mean, the food is good, whether you like it or not. No. No, we do. We have food. We serve breakfast starting at like 7 o'clock in the morning, and it goes all day. We have your normal hot dogs and stuff. I think they put on a hot dish meal, too. I mean, some sort of a meal, just a special meal. And, in fact, today, the ladies are baking pies out there.
Oh, gosh.
So
you guys also got out of that, huh, the pie baking, by coming in today?
Oh, I caught it ahead of time. So
no. You wouldn't want to eat mine.
Maybe you could get in on the taste testing just to make sure that it's okay for everybody to eat.
My baking would go to Super One. Buy a nice apple pie.
What is your go-to pie choice?
Mine? Rhubarb.
Just straight rhubarb, huh?
Yeah. Yep.
My mother-in-law made the best raisin cream pie in the world.
Oh.
So that's the one.
My dad would be
He likes
that.
John Deere, too.
Okay. All right. He drew the line. Did you see that?
Yeah. We felt that. All right. So there are farm animals there too this weekend. Is that right?
Yes, there is. I think the horses, came yesterday.
Are there horse plows?
No, there's not. We don't have any draft horses.
Okay.
They're trying to get a couple, but I don't think they're coming. But we do have other horses, and they have goats and sheep, and I don't know what all they're having, but we have one gal that's kind of in charge of the farm animals, and she's doing an excellent job. She was there yesterday trying to line up stalls and stuff, so.
Do you remember what kind of cows they were going to bring? Them shaggy.
Well, they were talking about a miniature, maybe.
Yeah.
But I don't know if it showed up or not. I don't know if it's going to. Talking about a miniature Highlander.
Oh.
And I mean, just a little one, so.
Adorable.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The 42nd Annual Threshing and Antique Show is at the Blackberry Farm Saturday and Sunday, August 8th and 9th, from 9 to 4 each day. Is that right?
Yep.
All right.
Okay.
Well, we'll be open for breakfast before that.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, we're open.
7. Yeah, that's right. We're farmers.
Yeah, we're farmers. We used to get up in the morning.
Well, in 2027, we'll look forward to hearing about this John Deere versus Alice Chambers tractor pull.
Yeah.
Well, we may not get together on the logistics how to do it. So it may not happen, but I just had to challenge Bruce today.
I think it will.
Yeah.
One of the neat things, I'll tell you a neat experience I had out there when I first got into the club. We go and have breakfast early in the morning, and they would be starting to fire up the steam engines, and it'd be a nice calm day, and that smoke come through, and that was just like, I think that's seventh heaven. it was so. There's other experiences too you can get out there. You know.
I bet you get to catch up with lots of old friends and folks coming through.
Well, that's the most of it, probably. It you know, when you get older, it's not the tractors anymore or the equipment. It's the people you've met over the years, and they return, and you got to see them. I mean, that's what I'm into. I'm into the people.
Yeah. And the rivalry.
And the rivalry.
Well, of course. But,
know. That's John Howery and Bruce Gold. Thank you guys so much for coming in. The 42nd Annual Threshing and Antique Show is at the Blackberry Farm Saturday and Sunday. Thanks, guys.
Yep.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Minnesota band Good Morning Bedlam, the song called Train Wreck. Coming up will be Headwaters with Kari Hedlund. We did get a text in, Susan from Cotton. We were talking about games. Kari was telling us about nuts, and I was talking about canasta. She said, summer vacations at the beach, we were not allowed out in the sun between 10 and 2. My mother used to say, mad dogs and Englishmen play in the noonday sun. So we played endless rounds of canasta. I haven't played it in years, and I never played it with only two. I think Hermit Dave and I need to rediscover the game. Thanks, Susan.
We'd love to know what games you've been playing or what games you love to play. Text 218-326-1234. We receive support from the Bonner Eye Clinic with locations in Grand Rapids and Hibbing.